can turn off this middle light. Our projector is pretty weak. This is the old one. We had a new one. It broke. We sent it back. It never came back with the new one. So we're waiting on the new one to come. Meanwhile, I don't know if you can see what will be projected here. We are going to start another new series on probably about 3 to 4 weeks of study on the missionary journeys of Paul. That will be the subject that I will be taking the next few weeks for the Sunday school. I'm sure all of us have at some point, I don't think my mic is working. Yes. At some point you must have, I'm sure you read the book of Acts, and there are so many events that are crossed over by Peter, Paul, John, other apostles, and the events are pretty much mixed as it took place, according to the writer, Dr. Luke. But this study that I am going to take is just primarily concentrating on Apostle Paul and the missionary journeys that he has taken. And I have asked the young people's group to join us today because some of them have either gone to mission fields or some of them are considering to go to mission fields, either whether short term or long term. So there are some fundamental basics that we can learn together from these. At least for today's study, it is very important, those information we will cover today, this morning. And the following weeks, we will continue on missionary journeys of Paul. He has taken total 4 journeys. 3 of them are missionary journeys. Generally, people call it 3 missionary journeys of Paul. And he took a final journey from Jerusalem to Rome under arms tied up. And he has taken away there to Rome to finally to be martyred. So he took actually 4 trips, but 3 of them are very specifically for mission trips, as such that we can call that name. So that is the intention of me this morning as we go and look at these few things for this morning, our consideration. I want you to turn to these chapters and at least you follow me through. We may not read every passage. There are every word has a reference to it, so we will try to cover to it as much as we can. But before we enter into the first missionary journey, we might get to that this morning. If not, we'll finish up next time, not next Sunday. Next Sunday, there is no Sunday school, the following Sunday. There are some few events that are worth looking before Paul took the missionary journey. That is the foundation that all of us need to be very much aware of, whether we take short-term missions or long-term missions in our life. First, of course, it all starts with the conversion of a person. That story we know. I won't take time to read the whole chapter here. In Acts chapter 9, verse 1 to 20, an extensive listing of events that took place in Paul's missionary journey. Let me get to this map for a second, see whether... It's not very clear for you, but I think you can probably see. Oops. I'm not very good at these things, so let's see what we can see here. I'm trying to zoom in so we can see the picture here. But before he started his journey, as we know that he was converted at the gate of Damascus, he was traveling towards the Damascus to persecute Christians. We know that story, and the Lord spoke to him on a very personal way. There are not too many Christians that the Lord directly talks before their salvation. I have heard stories of many people whom the Lord has directly talked to, and finally they got saved. You may have heard the man called Sadhu Sundar Singh in India. He has a very staunch Hindu and seeking God, and the Lord appeared to him and he got saved. Very similar story of Apostle Paul. Now, soon after his conversion, now just a side note here. When you read the conversion of Paul or Saul at that time, we read that he was saved and then he was fairly blind for 3 days. As soon as he got his eyesight back, he took food and then he was immediately baptized. There was no waiting period for Paul. Of course, Paul was a well-educated, well-known person. He knew the scriptures. As long as we knew or know the scripture, there is no such thing as waiting period for baptism. If you are 100% sure that a person is saved and he or she understands what baptism is, what is baptism means, when and it needs to be done, he or she must be baptized. That is my conviction, and we have done that here at the chapel many times. There are some people just wait for no reason, although they are convicted of salvation. That's just a side note as we look at Paul's conversion. And as soon as he was saved and all that events that took place, Paul disappeared into Arabia for how long? Scripture doesn't say how long he disappeared. He just traveled to Arabia and then he travels back from Arabia back to Damascus. How long was he there? There are people who think he was there at least 3 years. There are others who think that he was gone for 1 year. These are basically calculations and assumptions based on the certain events. But whatever period of time it was, he was gone for a period of time. And I'm not sure what was going on. I believe it, the Lord was giving him very fundamental, basic rethinking and realigning and retuning of his understanding of the scriptures and the truth for which he stood so firmly and started murdering other people, other Christians. There was some cleansing to be done. There is to be some training by the Spirit of God. And that is probably what has happened. This is only an assumption. But in any case, Paul traveled to Arabia and he came back. As soon as he came back, there was a conspiracy by others to murder him. They wanted to get rid of him. He started preaching very boldly to the same group of people who has authorized him to go and kill Christians, and that really got to their souls and they wanted to get rid of him. So conspiracy is the next one of to kill him in chapter 9, verse 23 to 26. These are events that you know that which we don't have time to go through a lot of this, so we'll skip through some of these. Here is one of the most important things. If you have your Bible in your hands, chapter 9 and verse 27 and 28. Here is Paul, who was such an enemy to the gospel. He was saved. He got miraculously saved and he was baptized. He disappeared for a while, perhaps in fear of his life, I believe. And then he came back and started preaching the gospel very powerfully. And then what did he do? He went back to his own hometown called Tarsus. We know that he is generally called Paul of Tarsus. That's his hometown. That's where he was born and brought up and everything else happened in his life. So he went back to Tarsus for a season. And I'm sure there he was preaching the gospel when he was in Tarsus. He went to Tarsus and then there in that picture you can see he was, Tarsus is just right above the Antioch on the right side. That is where his hometown was. And he was gone for a while. Now here's another challenge that I want to bring it to your attention. There was one brother called Barnabas. He went seeking Saul. Person of that category and understanding and who got saved, who has gone to his own hometown, there was a Barnabas who sought after him. You and I can relate that to our own life. There are times that when we kind of wandered away, there was a brother or a sister who came seeking us. They came and sought us, encouraged us, put their hands on our shoulders, whatever they did. Barnabas was such a man.
who has always been encouraging to others, especially to Paul. He went and sought Paul, and he went to Tarsus and brought him to Antioch. Just a note on the word Antioch. There are two Antiochs in the Bible. One is right above Seleucia, and then one is there on the top of the picture. You can see there is another Seleucia in the area of Pisidia. So I am talking about the Antioch on the right side in the Seleucia region. So what happened is there is where his life begins in the assembly there. Barnabas took him to Jerusalem first. First he took him to Jerusalem and introduced him to the apostles, other disciples who were there in Jerusalem. And they were amazed that Paul was saved. They introduced him to the disciples, and then Jerusalem to Tarsus, and then Barnabas seeking Saul in chapter 11, verse 25, and Tarsus to Antioch. So that's the initial journey part that he took. Let's look at that few verses there in chapter 11, verse 25 and 26. Then departed Barnabas to Tarsus for to seek Saul. And when he had found him, he brought him unto Antioch. And it came to pass that a whole year they assembled themselves with the church and taught much people. And the disciples were called Christians first in Antioch. So as we know, there is Antioch is the place that disciples or the believers were first called the word Christians. And he had found him, and there they were for an entire year. Now here is a fundamental principle that you and I need to learn. Even Paul, who was such a learned, understanding person, he was in the assembly of Antioch under the leadership of Barnabas and other elders and the spiritual leaders there, under training in preparation for what the Lord is going to call him in the future. And the only thing he knew when the Lord spoke to him was that, I am going to make you a testimony for the many nations. But he didn't know when and how. But here is the fundamental truth, that a person before he or she heads out to the mission field must be under training of a local church, under the leadership of the Spirit of God and as other spiritual leaders in the church. They were there in a full year in learning, understanding, and studying together. Not only that, let's look at another verse there. And verse 27, and in these days came the prophets, and there are more events taking place. Then the disciples, every man according to his ability, determined to send relief unto the brethren, which dwelt in Judea. Now, at that point of time, Judea had a famine. There was no food, or whatever, how much extent of famine it was. The Christians in Antioch decided to take a collection and send to Judea, in the areas of Judea where Christians are suffering. And guess who took the relief from Antioch to Jerusalem or in that region? Paul and Barnabas. Spiritual leaders, they were not just well-learned teachers that they will not do anything else. To carry the relief from Antioch to Jerusalem, they were willing to serve the Lord in any way they can. The willingness to serve the Lord under any circumstances, for any reason, is one of the qualifications to be in the mission field, whether it is short-term or long-term. A willingness and understanding to do anything for the Lord, even to carry some help to the poor Christians. So it was a very commendable thing what they did. They could have sent the gift through somebody else. Why not Paul and Barnabas, in such a learned men, spiritual leaders, they should be staying in the assembly and take care of the assembly. Let them not go to Jerusalem or wherever they went with the carrying of the relief. But that is what they did. They took the ministry as important as anything else in serving the Lord and helping God's people. Now they doesn't say how long they stayed there. They stayed in Jerusalem, and then from there they came back to Antioch again, where the local assembly is. Now, chapter 12 and verse 25. The events are really taking place very quickly here. I'm also going through a little faster here, just to get to the point of first beginning of their missionary journey. And verse 25 of chapter 12, and Barnabas and Saul returned from Jerusalem, and they had fulfilled their ministry and took with them John, whose surname was Mark. So now they took John Mark from Jerusalem and they returned back to Antioch. And turn to chapter 13 now. This is the most important part for this morning's study for our lesson today. Chapter 13, verse 1. Now there were in the church that was at Antioch certain prophets and teachers, as Barnabas and Simeon, that was called Niger, and Lucius of Cyrene, Manaen, which had been brought up with Herod the Tetrarch, and Saul. And they ministered to the Lord. How did they minister? In every way possible, within the assembly, and fasted. And of course, fasting is related to fasting and prayer. That's what they say in the next verse. They fasted and prayer. The Holy Ghost said, "Separate me, Barnabas and Saul, for the work whereunto I have called them." And when they had fasted and prayed and laid their hands on them, they sent them away. Some very important fundamental biblical truth there. Paul and Barnabas and all those ministers of the law, of the word, that are listed here by name, what were they doing in the assembly? They were consistently serving the Lord within the body of Christ, within the assembly. Notice that two times in the two verses it says they were fasting and praying. They were in the prayer meeting every time there was prayer meeting. Very sadly, I must say, it pains my heart. Majority of you in this assembly has decided not to come to the prayer meeting. It is a sole decision that you have chosen. It's not that I don't have time, I'm busy, I'm this and that. I don't believe that. I've been through all these life cycles that you have been. You are not anything special. I would say majority of you, not all of you 100%, there are one or two that may be working or doing something that you cannot. But the rest of you who do not come to prayer meeting have willingly, purposely decided in your heart that I'm not going to prayer meeting. And that's why you are not in the prayer meeting. Look at Paul and Barnabas and the rest of them. They were in the prayer meeting. When did the Lord call them? Call to the ministry. Was that in a missionary challenge conference? Come on, you can talk to me. Yes? Well, I'm not against missionary challenge conferences. There are many God's people who have come out for missionary challenge conferences. When they were challenged, they came to the ministry. They were called in the prayer meeting, brethren, to the ministry of the mission field. They were called in the prayer meeting. Why are you not there? Well, then we read here, and they ministered to the Lord. They were busy bodies serving the Lord. The Lord calls for his ministry, not only for the mission field, not only for any work of God anywhere in the Old Testament and New Testament. Lord always calls those who are busy doing things for the Lord, or maybe busy doing something else. Look at the calling of the disciples. They were all busy doing either fishing or mending the net, or they were busy bodies. They were not lazy people like me or some of us. God calls busy people to serve him within the body of Christ, and also sometimes if he chooses to take you to the mission field. So this is what they were doing. They were serving the Lord. They were in the prayer meeting, fasting and praying. What happened? A miracle took place. The Holy Ghost said, not the elders, very carefully listen now, not the elders, not the church leaders, not anybody else, when they were in the prayer meeting, they were in constant communion with the Lord, and the Spirit of God called them. Saul, for the work whereunto I have called them. And when they had fasted and prayed and laid hands on them, they sent them away. Now, two things. a whole year of training in the church in Antioch, continued to serve the Lord with the several others in Antioch. They were called by the Holy Spirit. They were sent by the Holy Spirit in chapter 13, verse 3. They were separated and sent by the church. The only thing the church did was, the church recognized the calling of the Holy Spirit to these two brethren. And they said, well, God is calling them. God is separating them. God is sending them. We will simply obey. So the church agreed. They separated them or they released them and they sent them away. The sending was done by the Holy Spirit, but that recognizing that sending, the church sent them. I don't think there should be anybody in the mission field without the church sending them. In other words, otherwise the Holy Spirit being convicted and calling them, and the church recognizes the call and send them along for the mission field. And if I don't cover anything else in these three missionary journey lessons, if you catch this, I am happy. First of all, he calls people who are actively involved in the body of Christ, in serving and in prayer meeting. And God calls them to serve both within the body and into the mission field. Now, Paul and Barnabas along, now they have a brother called John Mark to help them in their journey. I don't know why he came. I don't know what they saw in him. Doesn't say anything. I don't want to make any assumption. But they brought along with them from Jerusalem, and they took off their journey. Now, another thing I saw here is, when the Lord called, Paul and Barnabas did not say, Lord, we have a lot of work to do here in Antioch. This assembly is fairly new. They need to be taught. We cannot just go like that. There are things to be done here. No. When God called them, when the church released them, I believe they left the next morning. They left as soon as they could. Those two men, they took John Mark along with them. They went, and where did they go? Their first journey they took. They took their journey from Antioch to Seleucia, which is down just below that. And from there, they took their ship and they got on the ship and went to Cyprus, and the island of Salamis. They went there. That is the very first journey Paul and Barnabas, along with John Mark, took to continue to preach the gospel. And of course, wherever he went at this point of time, their first and the foremost thing they did is they went and find out where is the synagogue. Where is the synagogue? They went to the synagogue and they preached the gospel. They preached the gospel against the conviction of the Jews. Now they are swimming against the flow, right? They went to the synagogue. Now I paused there for a moment and thought about this. Whether it be a missionary journey or going to college, going to workplaces, or moving to another city, what is your primary goal to find out? Do you have a desire to find a place of worship before you go? Or do you take conveniences of life? Everything else is settled, and then finally we will think about the church, wherever it is. And we settle down in such a far distance and we'll take an excuse and say, oh, church is too low, too far, so I can't go. You know, I will go just find something close by. What is your priority when you move to a place? What is your priority when your children and my children, including, and me included, when you go from place to place, what is your number one priority? Is it a place of worship that I can fundamentally believe and be convicted along with the biblical truth which I believe and practice? Can I find a place of such worship? And that was the desire of Paul. And of course, they used the opportunity to preach the gospel, but their goal was to find a place of worship where they went. This is just a side note. And they first entered and they went to Salamis and they started preaching the word of God there. And when they had gone through the island of Paphos, verse 4, So they being sent forth by the Holy Ghost departed unto Seleucia. Look at that word. As soon as they sent, they were gone. They didn't wait. And from there, they sailed to Cyprus. And when they were in Salamis, they preached the word of God in the synagogues of the Jews. And they had also joined to their minister. And when they had gone through the island unto Isle of Paphos, they found a certain sorcerer, a false prophet, a Jew, whose name was Jesus, whatever you want to call. So they were there in Salamis for a short time. They preached the gospel there by land they traveled to Paphos. Most of the travel, I do not know how they traveled. I'm assuming there was some sort of a walkway or a place they can get on a horse, or somehow they made from that distance across the island of Cyprus and reached to the other end. And there also, what did they do? They looked for a place of worship. They went and found a synagogue, entered there, and they started preaching the gospel. Lo and behold, opposition starts. There was a man who was a sorcerer who wanted to oppose Paul. And his name is given there. And Paul very powerfully says and said, "O full of subtlety and all mischief, thou child of the devil, thou enemy of all righteousness, wilt thou not cease to pervert the right ways of the Lord? And now behold, the hand of the Lord is upon thee, and thou shalt be blind, not seeing the sun for a season." And immediately there fell on him a mist of and darkness, and he went about seeking some to lead him by the hand. Then the deputy, when he saw what was done, believed, being astonished at the doctrine of the Lord. A wonderful miracle takes place by the hand of Paul. A man who was opposing the preaching of the gospel, stopping the deputy to accept Christ, he was trying to stop the deputy, his name is given there, being converted. But the miracle took place, and seeing the miracle, the deputy got saved. He was one of the most powerful men in that region. You know, what do you think what happened after that? If a very leader of a nation or a powerful man of a region get converted, things change in a rapid way. Some of us has been to Africa. The best thing to go to a village to have access is to reach the village leader or the head of that area. If you can reach to him, the rest of the crowd is all open. So when that man gets converted, you believe me, the whole village will get converted because he gets converted. And I believe that's what happened here. The deputy got changed, he got converted in Paphos. I'm sure there was a large number of people came. And I'm sure there was an assembly started in those two places already. Now, he takes off from there. But when, verse 14 of chapter 13, and when they departed from Perga, they came to Antioch in Pisidia and went into the synagogue on the Sabbath day and sat down. Interesting. They went to Perga. Look at the travel they did. From Paphos, by ship, or whatever the method they used, they went to the city called Perga. They found another worship place, went there and sat down. They are very powerful people, right? Very knowledgeable men, well-recognized men. At least before he was converted, the whole world in that region knew about Saul. There they went and quietly sat down. Very interesting. Wherever you go, just because you are a teacher or you are a leader or you are somebody, you don't have to be recognized to put on a platform immediately. He didn't expect to go there and preach that day. They both went down there and sat down. People just want to be behind the pulpit. They love this for some reason. Not Paul, and at least in this incident. They went there and sat down and observed what's going on. They probably worshipped the Lord along with the people or the Jews there. But of course, they were worshipping in a different manner with the help of the Holy Spirit. And they sat down. And after the reading of the law and the prophets of the rulers of the synagogue sent unto them, saying, you men and brethren, that if you have any word of exhortation for the people, say on. Well, very good practice in their midst. The servant of the Lord comes, and the meeting is over, or their regular thing is over, they are asking him to, do you have anything to say? Is there a word of exhortation to give? And I think these people had a good practice of entertaining such people, asking them to say what they have to say from the Lord. And they were given an opportunity to speak. Oh my goodness, they did not expect this. They did not expect what Paul is going to say. He got up and started preaching. Then Paul stood up and beckoning with his hand said, men of Israel, and you that fear God, give audience. He said, please listen. You asked me to speak, I'm going to speak. So you better listen now. Now it is Paul's turn. He took off from there. I wish we had time to read the whole thing. Verse 17 on until verse, almost to verse 38, 39 in that area. He just kept on preaching and convicting every one of them how Israel, how God brought people of Israel out of bondage, how they led him, how the Lord was born, how they crucified him, how that his crucifixion and his death is causing for the forgiveness of sins. On and on, Paul went on with the pure gospel. The most powerful way that he can speak. And he spoke so powerfully. At the end, what happened? And then he says, verse 40, beware therefore, lest that you come upon you, which is spoken of in the prophets. Behold, you despisers, and wonder and perish, for I work a work in your days, a work which you shall not in no wise be believe, though a man declare it unto you. And when the Jews were gone out of the synagogue, I don't know what their response was. After hearing such a powerful message of the gospel, it says Jews just went out. It doesn't say they believed or they didn't believe or anything. They just left the place and they went out. The Gentiles who were there, they besought that these words might be preached to them the next Sabbath day. Here is a very worldwide historical event that we should remember. Until now, Paul was preaching to who? Come on. I want to know if you are listening. They were preaching to the Jews. Now here they preached to the Jews. What did they do? They just got up and left. They didn't want to hear it or they didn't want to believe it. They just walked out and left. That's what it says. And the Gentiles besought them, please preach to us. And they besought them to preach on the next day. Verse 43, and when the congregation was broken up, many of the Jews and religious proselytes followed Paul and Barnabas, who, speaking to them, persuaded them to continue in the grace of God. Apparently, there was at least some of them believed outside the synagogue. They walked out, they were all gone, or outside the building. Some of them believed, and they persuaded Paul and said, continue in the grace of God. And the next Sabbath day, as it was requested to them, verse 44, came along almost the whole city together to hear the word of God. The Jews and Gentiles, the entire city came together. But when the Jews saw the multitude, they were filled with envy and spake against those things which were spoken of by Paul, contradicting and blaspheming. Then Paul and Barnabas waxed bold and said, it was necessary that the word of God should first have been spoken to you, but seeing you put it off from you, you judge yourself unworthy of everlasting life. Lo, we turn to the Gentiles. The most important event in the history of church begins there. Gospel is now turning from the Jews to the Gentiles. They rejected him at the cross. They rejected the message now. Paul says, now you have rejected the gospel. I am turning to the Gentiles. And listen to the following verses. But Verse 47, for so hath the Lord commanded, saying, I have set thee to be a light to the Gentiles, that thou should be for salvation unto the ends of the earth. And when the Gentiles heard this, they were glad. When they heard it, they were glad and glorified the word of the Lord. And as many as were ordained to eternal life, they believed. Gentiles believing the Lord Jesus Christ. Aren't you glad this morning? I don't see any Jew in here. Every one of us is part of a Gentile nation who had no God. Aren't you glad that event of the day that took place? The Jews rejected the word, but the Gentiles accepted. Paul and Barnabas turns around and started preaching to the Gentiles. And they didn't say how many. Numerous Gentiles came and believed in the Lord Jesus Christ. And that is the event that we see in that took place. And the word of the Lord was published throughout the region. But Jews stirred up the devout and honorable women. Interesting. With this I will close. My time is up. They stirred up the people and some honorable women. Well, women can do some harm. You know, believe me, it's right here. They stirred up the women so they can persecute the Christians. And the chief men of the city and raised persecution against Paul and Barnabas and expelled them out of their coast. But they shook off their dust off their feet against them and came into Iconium. So they left. They were persecuted. They were kicked out. They were thrown out of the city. They cleaned their feet off and said, I am turning to the Gentiles. And they left the town and went from Perga to the Iconium, which is on the north. They traveled along and went to Iconium. Well, my time is up. I'm going to close here. We'll pick it up next time when we come. What a start, what a journey. But I want you to at least grasp the foundation of missions. Number one, in serving the Lord, whether mission or not, a brother or a sister who is actively involved in the local body and being faithful in the prayer meeting as well as to serving the Lord in whichever capacity they can. They are the one the Lord calls to serve, both internally and externally. And then we read that they were called during the prayer meeting, separate Paul and Barnabas. And Paul, as such a man that you and I have known, they were under the training of the elders of the assembly until the church released them. So they can go to the mission field. This is the foundation, this is the fundamental of biblical missions and serving the Lord. Don't limit it to just missions. You may not go to the mission field, you may not, but even to serve the Lord, I believe these principles are applicable to our faithfulness to the Lord in everything that we can. And having said that, there are times, there are things that we cannot, absolutely cannot be done. The Lord will respect that. All other faults, excuses, one day the Lord is not going to take, even now. So let us be re-examine my life and yours and see where do we stand when it comes to serving the Lord. Why would he not serve such a master, such a loving savior, such a one who cares for us, such a one who provides, holds our hands and walk by us day by day? Why not? I'm not calling you to mission field now. I'm calling to just serving the Lord. Why not? What is it stopping you? Only one life. One day is gone for eternity. One day is gone. When the day is gone, that day will never come back. But why not serve the Lord faithfully in the days to come? Let's pray. Our Father, we thank you this morning for opportunity to look at these scriptures together and also to ponder something, lessons to my own heart and each one of ours. We pray them and speak to each one of us. The days to come, to be faithful to the Lord and within the local body of Christ to serve you faithfully in the days to come. We give you thanks in the name of our Lord Jesus. Amen.